In Harris County, Houston, Texas, the woman left her keys in her apartment. A friend and she tried climbing in through a window. Thinking it was a break-in, a neighbor called police, who promptly shot one of them.
28-year-old Ebony Pouncey is recovering after being shot 5 times in the torso and leg. She was no burglar. She was just there with a friend who was a tenant in the complex.
I live here. Please don't shoot.
Ebony's friend, who was seen emerging from her home, says she was afraid for her life.
It took a while to come out because, of course, I was scared. I was thinking I was going to die. I was going to be next.
Both officers have been placed on administrative leave.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Republican senators opposed to Ukraine aid are each speaking this morning, trying to stop the $95 billion package of aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Indo-Pacific allies. Once that's done, the Senate will vote. Kansas City will be turning red on Wednesday, the parade celebrating the Chiefs' Super Bowl win. This is ABC News. One of Donald Trump's co-defendants in the Georgia election interference case is trying to get District Attorney Fani Willis booted off the case because of a personal relationship. A hearing is set for Thursday in Atlanta.
Fulton County, Georgia Judge Scott McAfee right off the bat indicated an evidentiary hearing would have to happen over whether DA Fani Willis and her lead prosecutor in the Trump interference case should be disqualified from the upcoming proceedings. The judge saying the allegations must be sorted through, including whether Willis and Wade's personal relationship amounted to financial benefits and a conflict of interest. Willis and Wade have disputed those claims, with both suggesting Trump lawyers have a legal incentive to have them disqualified. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The Biden administration announced $5 billion in a public-private consortium that'll support research and development in advanced computer chips. The money coming from a 2022 law that aims to reinvigorate the chip sector in the U.S. through targeted government support. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least one Republican has announced their candidacy to replace outgoing Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher. Gallagher announced he would not seek another term Saturday. Former state senator Roger Roth has already announced his plan to run for the seat. Roth served as senator from 2017 until 2021 and ran for lieutenant governor alongside Tim Michaels in 2022. Current state senator Andre Jacques and GOP consultant Alex Brusewitz have also expressed interest in the seat. No Democrats have announced their intention yet to run for the seat. A leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Pocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime to become only the second team in over 20 years to win back-to-back NFL championships. Patrick Mahomes named the game's most valuable player, and what made the difference for Kansas City?
The attitude of the team, it's special, and I'm proud of the guys, man. I mean, we battled through and through all the way through the playoffs into the Super Bowl, and just like our whole season, it came down to the last play.
Tight end Travis Kelce caught on video shoving and yelling at Coach Andy Reid lead before halftime when the team was struggling.
You know, he bumps into me. I get after him, and we understand that. He loves to play the game. He wants to help his team win. It's not a selfish thing.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan on losing again to the Chiefs in a Super Bowl.
I mean, I heard the most for the players. Those are the guys. I mean, it's such a, can't tell you guys how long it takes to get here. Our guys, I heard for the most.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. From Super Bowl 58, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, stars and some high clouds with lows by daybreak in the mid-20s, a light northwest wind. We'll see sunshine mixed with some cloud cover on Tuesday, highs in the mid-30s. Our winds will continue light out of the northwest. Currently 26 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you along with us. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin is on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. If you ever want to join us, give us a call, shoot us a text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or if you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well. On Facebook, YouTube, and the social media platform that Elon ruined. Lots of stuff coming up today on the program. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News is going to be joining us at 10:30.
Who?
You work with him from 6 to 8 every day.
Hey, that's pretty early, lady. I don't expect,
I didn't remember anything.
Please.
Pat Kreitlow is going to be joining us. He had a great article about the ailing farm bill, which is still languishing in Congress, and what this means, especially for, obviously, Wisconsin's farmers and people in the ag business. So Pat Kreitlow is joining us coming up at 10:30. At 11 o'clock, traffic calming. If you live in the city of Milwaukee, and this is not just a city of Milwaukee issue, but reckless driving is a problem really all over the country. But there are areas in the city of Milwaukee that have seen numerous, numerous accidents and fatalities. And so they are making some changes to try and make things safer and slow folks down. So Mike Amsden, the multimodal transportation manager for the city of Milwaukee's Department of Public Works, will join us at 11:06 to talk about some of the measures that they have put into place and how things are working so far.
And the reason why they're going to be on the show today was, I don't believe it's a Wisconsin-based TikToker, highlighted the efforts of Milwaukee with traffic calming measures. And I've seen some of them in place, and I'm sure Mike will talk about them in the next hour. But I'm excited because this is important stuff. As cities evolve, transportation evolves, we need more safety measures.
Yeah, more safety measures, more walkability, I think cities are looking for, more bikeability. So again, Mike will be joining us coming up at 11:06, if you can stick around for that. I'm going to start off, though, with, of course, the big game yesterday. It was a huge victory, 72-69 final score. Team Ruff scratching its way to a win over Team Fluff.
I did it. I covered the spread. I did it.
I was very disappointed that my team, Fluff, did not take the Lombardi Trophy, but they won the last 2 years in a row. So it's Ruff.
Kansas City of puppy.
And they're the yes. So Team Ruff, well done. It was a game well played.
Yeah. Team Scruff, both great competitors.
They were.
Yeah.
And it was 3 hours of fun.
What?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of commercials in there, but yeah.
I just want to let the listening audience know and the StreamYard audience know that Jane was consistently texting me about puppy bowl updates. This is not a joke to her. This is not like, oh, we could do this for fun. She thoroughly loves the puppy bowl, I think more than some of her family members.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
No. I I love pizza more than some of my family members. So, but it really was fun to live it through you. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I wanted to be surprised today.
Sure. I understand.
But I really enjoy how much you just love the puppy bowl. Well, I know, animals in general.
I do. And I know I texted you on Friday night because they actually had a 20-year retrospective on the history of the puppy bowl.
Oh, let me read that text actually, folks. I was dying.
I was
it just... said, OMG, there's a 20-year puppy bowl retrospective on Animal Planet. I'm dying.
Yes.
And I just responded back, Jesus God Almighty.
And then I put it actually in our whole in our entire team chat.
Yeah.
On our work website, just in case anybody else wanted to watch all the action as it was happening. I thought it was.
Andrew from Maine says, are you surprised, Craig? Just wait until they bring out the bird bowl. That's going to need a lot of tarp.
That would. Yes, there's always. Well, Bissell is a sponsor for the puppy bowl. Yeah. So they pretty much have that covered. There was another game yesterday. The Chiefs over the 49ers in overtime, pulled it out again, 25-22. So the PSYOP apparently is all good and well, and it worked.
We are controlled, people. The sheeple have spoken, and they want Travis Kelce and our new overlord, Travis Swift.
Travis Swift. Yes. The other thing, and then I'll let this go.
Yeah.
At the Puppy Bowl, they actually have celebrity couples. So it was
animal celebrity couples.
Yeah. Animal, there was like two dogs. So one was Taylor Swift and it was Travis Palsy or something like that. So there were a couple of them that I thought was
ridiculous.
I'm a sad.
No, you're not. No,
lonely person.
No, you are not sad nor lonely. You are. You enjoy something that is cute and wholesome and wonderful. And when nobody ever gets mad about the puppy bowl.
I hope not.
No. So what you like is wonderful.
And thank you.
Even if we didn't like it, who cares? It's yours.
Moving on.
Yeah.
This kind of fell a little bit under the radar, I think.
Yes, it did.
Because of everything else that was going on. And one of our Republican representatives, Mike Gallagher from Green Bay, is not going to seek re-election. This dropped on Saturday.
Yes. I sent a text to you, to another. I sent a text to like three people and no one got back to me. I'm like, how are we not talking about this?
Yeah. Mike Gallagher told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that he's going to leave Congress at the end of his current term to enter the private sector and spend more time with his young family. Gallagher says his work will be in line with his national security goals and his focus on defense policies. In the interview, Gallagher said, I really just feel like I've accomplished much more than I even thought I could when I set out. And I firmly don't believe that the best use for the next chapter of my career is staying in Congress for another decade.
I mean, those are wonderful words to hear from a politician, but from Mike Gallagher, bro, you were in Congress for
four terms.
So you got in 2017. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying, but come on, man. One, you want to make that money. As soon as you say private sector, that's the first thing I think.
It's all about the cash.
Book deal, pundit, going on the shows, getting on board of directors, making that money.
See, and I am looking at this from a different angle because Mike Gallagher was one of the, four Republicans who did not vote to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas.
Yeah.
And that was not a very popular thing.
It wasn't a popular thing, but I just can't at this point, until someone directs me in the line to think about this, it doesn't make sense to me that that action would lead him to leave Congress, as if to say someone told him, if you will no longer be in Congress because of this, this is your punishment, or leave now before you're primary. Like, I don't see this vote being
the reason why.
Yeah. It's not enough to me. Like, this is definitely, it's a big thing. I'm not going to say it isn't a big thing, but I don't think it's enough for him to step down. Maybe step down later in the year after some hemming and hawing. But this is just like, he did it. The next week, he's done. It's not like it. If it was June and he stepped down, I'd be like, oh, there's internal pressure, blah, blah, blah. But this happened really fast.
Oh, but I bet the backlash came back really fast.
But what about Luckford in Oklahoma? He's not.
Well, he's got his own problems.
I know, but he's not stepping down. He's
right.
Not, I mean,
true.
And Chip Roy. I mean, we make jokes about Chip Roy, but he's openly hostile towards his own party, and
he's sticking around. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, calling from Mike Gallagher's district, Stephen from Green Bay. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, guys. I did not watch the Puppy Bowl. I'm sorry, Jane.
That's okay.
With that being said.
That's all right.
You know, Christmas sometimes comes twice a year, and when you're sitting at home, and it comes across your phone that Mike Gallagher has dropped out and won't seek re-election, it's almost like having a second Christmas. Now, I have some thoughts on why he did so, and maybe it's just me being superstitious, but this comes out after the Mayorkas thing, and I think he was afraid of the amount of money that the Republican Party was going to spend to not support him. A, and B, I find it kind of funny that three Democrat women say they might run against him, and he's like, oh my gosh. And I thought to myself, is Mike a little scared of Democratic women running against him?
I don't know, Stephen. I mean, I think it's more about getting primaried from his own party.
Yeah.
Personally. I think certainly money, too. I mean, it's going to be... It would cost him a fair amount of money to defend himself.
I see the RNC either ignoring him or spending money to keep him there because he's there and they don't want to lose him, because Wisconsin, there's a lot of Republican congressional members.
Right.
Or they just kind of say, "Eh, you're on your own this time, or you raise money. We'll help you if you need it," and they never come back. I don't think they spend a lot of money to primary him out.
Well, and I think the RNC has money problems of their own.
Oh, absolutely.
The fundraising has not been going well for Ronna Romney McDaniel. Therese from Shortwood is on the line. Good morning, Therese. Thank you so much for joining us. What does you want to say?
Good morning. I think it's a chicken and the egg issue. I suspect that the reason he had enough courage to take the vote he did is because he already was making plans for his next more lucrative step.
That's a really good point.
It freed him up to do, It freed him up to do what he thought was right, not what his party was telling him to do.
Yeah, I agree.
And how sad is that, Therese, that that's the only way he felt he could do what he believed was right?
And then I'm kind of sticking to it.
Yeah. I mean, Therese, thank you so much for calling. And I agree with you. I think this is the culmination of a bunch of things, because let's not forget, in December, he tried to be the super ultra conspiracy right candidate or elected official with the whole train museum and the satanic. Like, it's just, say what you will about Mike Gallagher, and you can say a lot of things about him. He was always composed. He always held that line of being, you know,
reasonable
looking. But I think he was trying on all different kinds of hats, and nothing was fitting for him.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
Enjoy your new rich life.
844-967-2789. Stay close. Big news for Civic Media.
What?
Yes, an announcement on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on Air.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawrence.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say to you. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app. You can do that wherever you get your apps.
It's $5,000 a piece, right?
It's free, Greg Bach.
I heard wrong. I'm sorry.
You heard wrong. It is absolutely free. And if you download the app, not only can you listen to all of our stations all across the state, we're in 20 different places now across Wisconsin, I know. You can call and or text directly from the app to whatever show you're listening to, which is a pretty slick feature. So,
and I know that we're getting some new updates coming too soon, which will be great and make it even more awesome. I mean, it's just, why are you not, why is it not on your phone?
Do it now.
Do it right now.
Do it now.
Well, if you're driving,
don't do it.
Pull
now.
Over, download the app, then continue.
Then,
driving.
Then you can keep driving. Big news for Civic Media. Very, very excited to announce this. It is in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we all got a big email over the weekend.
Yep.
Welcome, welcome, Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. She's already got her show on from Monday through Thursdays,
yeah,
6 to 7, but now she's going to be going to 2 hours. She is a brilliant, brilliant woman.
Yes. I feel like if you put Dr. Lyerly and Maggie Dawn in a room, they would just solve
all of the problems. All of the world's problems. Maggie Dawn had been the top attorney for the city of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
She had been in the office of Corporation Counsel for many, many years. She is so accomplished, not only as an attorney, but, I mean, she played roller derby, for heaven's sakes.
This is weird. I just got asked to do roller derby announcing this weekend.
You did?
I used to be in roller derby. I used to go to roller derby. Roller derby is amazing. And I could see Maggie Dawn demolishing people in roller derby.
Oh, yeah. Papa Rico reacting to the news. Yay! On the live stream. We are very, very excited.
Yeah.
Maggie is so insightful and so intelligent. And as I said, so very, very accomplished, mm-hmm, that she can take extraordinarily complex, confusing issues, and really break it down for folks.
Yeah.
She has been a guest on this show many times.
Yep. She's going to be a great addition to the network. Well, she already is on the network.
Right.
But in a 2-hour slot,
yep,
every day, I mean, that's just going to be, I will say this, she will get callers.
Yes.
And I cannot wait.
During her tenure, Maggie Dawn, again with Milwaukee County, an advocate for equity and inclusion. In 2018, she sued opioid manufacturers and distributors in federal court, contributed to an opioid epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Her work led to settlements of $152 million in payments to the county.
Wow.
Yes. And on top of that, she is really a lovely human being.
She's hilarious. She's very funny. Yep.
And again, we couldn't be more excited about this. Maggie Dawn coming full time, 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And I believe that starts next week.
Yep. And from now into the rest of the week, you can listen to Todd Alba for 3 hours and then repeat of Nightlight.
With Pete Schwabba.
So you're getting all sorts of info.
Well, but you make a really good point there too, Greg. I think it's fabulous that Pete Schwabba brings a different element to the network.
He's the come down.
I mean, I help relax you now.
Exactly. The
right?
come down. You've had a lot of news, a lot of talking,
yep,
interesting discussion. And then Pete's like, let's talk to a comedian. Let's talk to a guy who wrote a movie or a lady who was in a movie. Let's just have fun. And then turn out that night light, go to bed.
And speaking of accomplished, he lived in Los Angeles for 14 years and wrote for television and wrote for movies. And so he knows his stuff, and he's got some pretty cool contacts too.
This network is pretty cool.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Maggie Dawn.
And that's it. Show's over, folks.
She said it's the right time for her to leave county government. She's completed many major tasks, from coping with the pandemic to pushing for an increase in the countywide sales tax. And she has assembled a strong lineup of county lawyers who will follow in her place. So, again, she will be airing her daily show 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie says she will not only be covering the news, but hopes to occasionally break it.
Ooh, dang.
Speaking of people with contacts and deep contacts within the community, she would certainly be among them. All right. We have news coming up in just a few minutes. Papa Rico says again, I'm Maggie's number one fan. That's great, Papa. She's amazing. We're also her number one fans. I adore that woman.
Yeah.
I texted her when the news broke this weekend, and I said, not only are you intelligent and wonderful at what you do, I just really like you an awful lot.
Yeah, she's just nice, too.
She is. Very, very gracious lady. All right. News is coming up. When we return, Pat Kreitlow from up north will be joining us to talk about several things. He wrote a great piece on the farm bill, which continues to languish in Congress. It would be really nice to see something get done with that. Because aren't they going on break pretty soon?
Absolutely. And when they pushed this farm bill off, if I'm not mistaken, it was late last year, and they said we'll revisit it next year. And I think it meant
now.
Did they mean now? I thought they meant like in one calendar, like a year from now.
Oh, my.
So that's, you know, and hopefully what we'd like to do is we'd like to get some voices from the farms here on the show to discuss how this is
affecting you,
affecting them, which will affect us.
Yep.
And kind of put some shed light on it, because, man, though, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The way that we do farmers dirty in this country.
I agree with you.
It's just
it's a crime. Mm-hmm. It is. It's terrible. And then we have people who will come out and say, oh, we love our farmers. I work for our farmers. And yet where are the results for our farmers?
Yeah.
So Pat Kreitlow will be joining us to talk about that. We may also have a little IRS conversation. IRS continuing to pull in all kinds of money from very, very wealthy people who, shockingly, were not paying their taxes.
You mean stealing?
Just not paying.
The IRS steals money, Jane.
Well, they're coming for you.
They can have my $38.
That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu.
In Harris County, Houston, Texas, the woman left her keys in her apartment. A friend and she tried climbing in through a window. Thinking it was a break-in, a neighbor called police, who promptly shot one of them.
28-year-old Ebony Pouncey is recovering after being shot 5 times in the torso and leg. She was no burglar. She was just there with a friend who was a tenant in the complex.
I live here. Please don't shoot.
Ebony's friend, who was seen emerging from her home, says she was afraid for her life.
It took a while to come out because, of course, I was scared. I was thinking I was going to die. I was going to be next.
Both officers have been placed on administrative leave.
ABC's Pierre Thomas. Republican senators opposed to Ukraine aid are each speaking this morning, trying to stop the $95 billion package of aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Indo-Pacific allies. Once that's done, the Senate will vote. Kansas City will be turning red on Wednesday, the parade celebrating the Chiefs' Super Bowl win. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The National Weather Service confirms last week's storms in south-central Wisconsin produced 2 tornadoes. One was an EF1 in Greene County, and the other was an EF2 tornado that touched down near Evansville. While they brought widespread damage to the area, no one was killed and only minor injuries were reported. They were the first ever tornadoes in Wisconsin in February. Wisconsin's Republican senator in Washington says he wants Mitch McConnell out as Senate Minority Leader after Republican senators quickly killed the bipartisan border deal last week. Ron Johnson says that McConnell negotiated his fellow Republicans into a losing position. Johnson is also defending Congressman Mike Gallagher. He voted against impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Then Gallagher announced Saturday he won't seek re-election in November. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, stars and some high clouds with lows by daybreak in the mid-20s, a light northwest wind. We'll see sunshine mixed with some cloud cover on Tuesday. Highs in the mid-30s. Our winds will continue light out of the northwest. Currently 26 degrees.
I came home early and found my husband swiping left. It's true. He was looking for something new. So I decided to confront him.
I'm looking at movetomadison.com.
Well, at least you're keeping it local.
It's the Aaron Weber Group. You said you wanted a home. They can get us the best price with updated market reports and instant property value quotes, virtual or in-person meetings. Happy Valentine's Day?
The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. Movetomadison.com. Swipe and find your true love home today.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you.
talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very, very glad to have you with us today. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin is on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon ruined. We're very excited to have our next guest with us. He is on every morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow. Good morning, Pat. Thank you for extending your workday for us today.
Oh, happy to. Good morning. Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
Hi, Greg.
Hello, Pat.
You guys, you already spent a couple of hours together today.
I love the fact that I am basically the, you know, the first cup of coffee for Greg. So he is in prime condition by the time it's time for Matt Nair on Air, because he gets all the cuss words out of his system. You know, in the morning, you're kind of like, ah, there's a little extra, you know, grovel in your voice. You got to snort and spit a few times. He just does all that on our show. And then he's right as rain for you.
Then he's been great. There's very little spitting.
He's not wrong. I've gotten emails from management about it. Just got to be more professional.
We're his morning spittoon. No, we're
I'd listen to that podcast. Morning spittoon.
I highly encourage folks to check out upnorthnewswi.com. You have some great articles in there, Pat, regularly. And you cover all things that affect Wisconsin. And I saw this one the other day, and I'm really glad you could jump on to talk about this. The headline is, "The Farm Bill is Big, Bold, and Behind Schedule. Here's how that affects you." So I think the last time you were on, Pat, we talked about this farm bill when it still seemed like it had
steam.
A chance. It had a chance that it would pass. So what happened and where are we now?
Well, this was just a quick update slash reminder to people that for all the talk about government shutdowns, and yes, that's still looming out there. That's still a thing.
That's just a couple weeks away, right?
It is. And this is, again, for folks that don't follow it, God love you. You're not encumbered with knowing that this was supposed to be done in October of last year when the federal budget gets done every year. And the Republican-led House of Representatives, it's not that they can't agree with the Democratic-led U.S. Senate. It's that they can't agree with themselves over what should be in the federal budget. So they have had to kick the can down the road a few weeks, a few months. Now we're getting to this next one. Each time brings with it the threat of a government shutdown if they can't either extend again or reach a deal. Caught up in all of this is the Farm Bill, which is not part of all this drama. They just up and said, no, we're not even going to deal with this till October of next year, which is, you know, now this year, 2024. But that's the month before a presidential election. Of course, nothing's going to get done in October of a presidential election. So this thing needs to get taken care of yet this spring. Farmers would like to know, you know, what kind of programs are available before they take out all their loans and plant crops for the year. But it's also a bill that deals with all the nutrition programs, WIC, SNAP, environmental and conservation programs. It's like we say, it's big, it's bold, and like so many other things in the House, it's behind schedule.
Oh, I have a question. And honestly, as you know, we've talked about this a lot, and this is kind of pure speculation. We can maybe ask Hans Breitenmoser when he's on your show. Is because of the very fair, like mild winter we've had, will there need to be maybe some extra money in emergency funds provided to farmers to help, you know, take care of what they may have lost in this not great winter for them?
It's a very fair question as far as, you know, the snow for us is either an impediment or it's about winter recreation and money. But for our farmers, it's about soil moisture. And if there's nothing to melt into the ground, then all that talk last year for the first half to two thirds of summer about drought concerns, that's going to come racing right back. And while the crops did recover, it was like the last bit of needed rain came in as late as possible, but still possible. If that doesn't happen this time and we start having massive crop failures, that's a lot that's going to be needed to assist farmers. And my goodness, if we can't even agree on should we be sending emergency aid, you know, to Israel, to Ukraine, you know, to Taiwan, if our farmers start getting caught up in these political games, you know, about, well, we're not going to do anything for farmers till they do something about border security. I mean, how much deeper can the dysfunction get?
I think you try to use them as a pawn for something like border control. That blows up in someone's face real quick.
Well, and especially because border control / immigration is a huge issue for Wisconsin farmers.
Yeah.
The dairy industry would collapse if we did the round them all up, send them back that Republicans talk about, which, by the way, would cost more money than actually doing immigration reform, legal immigration reform. And the main reason why a lot of folks don't know, and I didn't know till I learned it from Ruth Conniff over at Wisconsin Examiner, is there are agricultural visas, but they're seasonal for migrants who would come and pick crops at harvest time, for example. But there isn't a year-round one.
Yeah.
And last I checked, Greg, the cows, they still need to be milked every day? Pretty sure every day, right?
I got the memo.
I mean, I'm a city kid.
It did say every day. Got that memo.
We haven't bioengineered cows yet that they only harvest the milk once a year. It doesn't work that way.
If you're just joining us, Pat Kreitlow is our guest. He is our colleague at Civic Media, Up North News Radio. You can hear him across the network every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. And we're talking about the farm bill just languishing now. Nothing is getting done. And now they're pushing it back until October of this year. I can't imagine the level of frustration for our farmers. And I know, Pat, your wife comes from a farm family.
Yeah, she grew up, she was the oldest of six. They would milk 72 cows every morning, get on the school bus, get off the school bus, milk 72 cows, and then do their homework and then all the other chores and everything else that went into it. And while fewer and fewer farms have that kind of family existence, they are still, you know, heavily family run, in many cases, maybe larger. They maybe have farm hands, maybe migrant laborers. But whatever the case, this is still a huge part of the Wisconsin economy. And for the non-corporate parts, the farm families and things like that, one of the things the farm bill does is determine the extent to which, you know, corporations can be involved and have control. And right now what you hear from a lot of farmers is they're tired of the near monopoly control that just a handful of entities have. Now, this one's related more to, say, beef cattle, but when you have the meatpacking industry, there's just four companies. So it's not a monopoly in that there's only one company, but it's awfully close. Just four companies control so much of the meat production. They can control what cattle producers are going to get. They can control more strictly what consumers are going to get. And it seems to me all of our Republican friends who love to talk about, you know, the free market system.
Competition.
Should be all about increasing competition. Governor Evers has been doing that, for example, by providing grants to smaller but locally based meat processors. So that's why you really want to support, say, your local meat market, if you've got something like that in your community, more so than what you'll find at the big grocery stores. That's one of many ways that the farm bill can either encourage competition or restrict it, which not only hurts farmers, but hurts us as consumers.
You just brought up Republican, you know, lawmakers, and we're talking about using farmers as almost like a shield to say how much you love America and how much you want to help, which brings makes me think of our good friend, Mr. Derek Van Orten, Congressman of the Third, who will be on the tweeters talking about how he's so proud of being the first Wisconsin congressman to be on the Ag Committee and how much he loves farmers, posting pictures with farmers or at least people wearing jeans. I don't know, but what would you say his report card is since his time in office, helping the farmers here in Wisconsin, doing what they need to do?
Depending upon your point of view, it's either an incomplete because the bill's not done, or you give him an F because of the incompletion, because he has done nothing to advocate for moving this process along. He had a couple of listening sessions, which really were just photo opportunities to say, look, I'm on the House Ag Committee. I'm on the Ag Committee. I have a listening session. What have you done? Or what have you not done? And what some folks in Wisconsin are very unhappy with in terms of what has he not done? He has not spoken up when other Republicans have demanded $50 billion in cuts to the Farm Bill's conservation programs, where farmers get extra pay for not working all of their lands, which can increase erosion, which is not good for the soil. So, you know, for a farmer to take some out of production and put it into conservation, then you pay something into it. The Biden administration has actually helped better fund those efforts. Republicans want $50 billion in cuts. Derek Van Orden could be a hero if he either stood up against cuts like that, or if he stood up for legal immigration reform, especially, or at the very least for farm laborers. He could be a hero that way. But by being silent on the Farm Bill's timeframe, by being silent on cuts to conservation programs, and by being outright hostile and towing the same company line on photo ops at the border, but not really doing anything, he's got that incomplete to failure grade, depending on your point of view.
Pat Kreitlow is our guest from Up North News Radio. You can catch him every Monday through Friday across the network from 6 to 8 a.m. And I think you mentioned something really, really important. And again, not everyone is in as invested in the news as we are. But former President Trump has said he will start this massive deportation on day one of his administration. And they're going to deport millions and millions and millions of people. And a commenter I saw on this thread that I caught over the weekend essentially said, well, then all Americans better get ready to do a shift at their local lettuce farm so we can start picking stuff, because how are we going to eat?
Or milking cows or anything. But more importantly, I can't believe more people haven't watched Trump by now to know he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He doesn't do anything. What he'll do is he'll round up a handful of people, again, as a photo op, make those people miserable. He'll make every other migrant family that just wants safety, security, and a job to, again, pick our crops, milk our cows, clean our hotel rooms, you know, service in the restaurants. They're just looking for that security. Going to make their lives uncertain, make it a living hell for a while. Then at some point, when either a court or Congress stymies him through a filibuster or a court action, he says, you see, I can't do anything about this. And then nothing gets done. And he knows we've been through this with him on a host of issues, and he would just do it again with immigration and farming.
You know what, though, Pat? I'm not so certain, because the last time around, he did actually have some adults who surrounded him who would not let him follow all of his instincts and were the ones who said, yeah, you know what? You can't do that. It's illegal. I think if he gets a second term, he is going to surround himself with nothing but sycophants. And they're going to have loyalty tests. You're going to have to pledge to him in order to get a job in the administration.
He does want to remove all the safeguards in terms of an independent civil service, in terms of the nominees and appointees. He's trying to get as many, frankly, you know, sycophants is the nice name. Bootlickers would be another way to put it. You know, not just in the House and the Senate, but now appointed to judgeships. And so of what he will get away with initially will be more numerous and more cruel. But just because he doesn't have those guardrails of certain people around him, again, you have a Congress where either, again, through a filibuster or through court action, probably put the brakes on and he's just, you know, neutered. But unfortunately, so Republicans on day one, if they were to get the Senate, if Tammy Baldwin were to lose, they could say, you know what, filibuster doesn't exist anymore.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I've been asking Democrats to do for a long time.
Yep.
Just get it done for good before it's done for evil. And there's fewer and fewer guardrails. There'll still be some to neuter him. But he is going to try to get away with things that are big and bad and cruel and hurtful to the economy.
And potentially illegal. Pat Kreitlow will be here when we return. If you have a question for Pat or you want to make a comment, 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Radio 92.7 WMDX.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the sound surgeon on the board, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream as well. We are joined by our colleague and the host of Up North News Radio every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. Pat Kreitlow is here. I did want to share one quick text, Pat, that came in from Wes from Middleton. I got to throw Civic Media a bone. You guys have pulled our media ecosystem back down to earth a little bit. I think that Wisconsinites are losing their appetite for the Looney Tunes fringe right programming that has taken over the airwaves in most Wisconsin towns.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Isn't that nice?
And it's what I know that's what is behind the formation of Civic Media. It is definitely behind the formation of Up North News, which is owned by Courier Newsroom. And again, it's just to put in that perspective. It's not counter-programming. It's just, hey, here's another way of looking at what's going on. One that's based in, I don't know, facts, reality, you know, and a certain set of values as well. And we're not, you know, we're unapologetic about that.
Absolutely.
I think when you have, like, you know, years ago, it was not, I want to say fine, but the way it's going now, that sort of programming is just not sustainable either. Because it just, what are you saying after a while? You are repeating
you have
conspiracy theories and saying shocking things like, yeah, you got to pull back and be like, all right, let's talk about, let's bring it back. And let's talk about real issues that affect us, like what we're talking about right now, which is the farmers in Wisconsin and the farm bill that is stuck in the mud in Congress.
844-967-2789. If you want to call or text, our friend Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Great program. I have relatives quite wealthy. They're cash crop and dairy farmers up in Clark County. And to be honest with you, they feel quite insulated. They've got Mennonites running around that are doing what the immigration issue hasn't resolved and isn't likely to anytime soon. So they feel like, I'll just carry on. You know, I'm going to be okay. But I'm not sure taking $50 billion out of the Conservancy, it didn't end well years back in Dodge County, because a lot of the land that they put back into till was either flooded over or burned out. And now it's crop insurance. Maybe it's not the Conservancy money, but it's still, it's money spent. I don't get that. The reason for my call, though, is our Navy SEAL in La Crosse, he happens to be my federal representative, much to my chagrin. And I am in a quandary. Who do I have been trying to prop up Katrina Shanklin. I admire the lady. She's got chutzpah. But there's also a fine lady that's over in Eau Claire that's quite good. With all of these, the map shakeup here with the Supreme Court and all this and that, I'm at a quandary. Who do I support right now? Is this all going to change? Am I going to be, you know, sending money to somebody that may decide not to run because of redistricting? And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's kind of wondering, what do we do yet? You know, we're kind of chomping on the bit. That's my question.
Thank you so much, Rob. Really appreciate it. Go ahead, Pat.
These are excellent questions. Thank you, Rob, so much for bringing that up and for helping me bring to the attention of people the three candidates who are announced right now on the Democratic side. They are State Representative Katrina Shanklin from the Stevens Point area. She is a legislative veteran, and the thing that she brings most to the table is, I don't have the number in front of me, I'm going to say it's 170, it's somewhere around there, the number of bills that she has passed as a Democrat in a legislature controlled by Republicans the entire time she's been in office. So that is a bipartisan record of accomplishment that she points to.
And can I just, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to do, I do want to say that among those many, many things that she has helped pass, I assume they don't all have to do with like renaming post offices.
Correct. No, these are actual things.
Yes.
Yes, there's actual policy wonkish things that get done. They're not the big things, of course, because that's what gets bogged down, but there's a whole lot of little things that get done with somebody's idea. And a lot of times it's the idea of this Democratic member from Stevens Point. From the Eau Claire area are two other candidates. Entrepreneur Rebecca Cook actually ran 2 years ago as well. She's the only candidate from that primary who's running again. She actually won more counties in the 3rd Congressional District than even Brad Paff, who got the most votes and did take on Derek Van Orden 2 years ago. So Rebecca Cook is already an experienced campaigner throughout the district. She has farm roots near the Eau Claire area and has operated a small business. And then there's Eric Wilson of the Eau Claire area, who has some private sector experience. He has worked for the Eau Claire County Democratic Party and says that there needs to be a new face in there. I can't help you with the, you know, who should I support? My answer would be the day after the primary, whoever emerges from that, and you can argue it'd be Representative Shanklin because of name ID, it could be Rebecca Cook because of how hard she's campaigning, but regardless, they're going to back the winner, whoever of them emerges from this, and then there's going to be national attention like crazy when that comes in. So support the one you favor, you like, or just support them both equally to help boost them along, and then that nominee is going to be giving Derek Van Orden a very good run for the money.
Well, and I know, Pat, that you've had all three of those people on your show, and we're going to do that too here on Matt Nair on Air, so everybody gets a chance to hear what Rebecca Cook and Katrina Shanklin, and I'm sorry, his name escapes me.
Eric Wilson.
And to find out what they're talking about and what they want to run on. So I think it's very important to give.
You go to civicmedia.us, you go to the Up North News show page, and then you scroll on down, and you don't have to go back more than a couple of weeks here. And then on back-to-back-to-back shows, we had all three of them on, and give them a listen.
Little getting to know you segments.
That's exactly what they are. And we'll do that once or twice more before the August primary.
Pat, what is coming up on today's Up North News?
Well, we talked about, there was this thing called the Super Bowl. We talked about that. And then we also talked about two people who co-host the Vibes Only podcast, a new podcast from Courier Newsroom.
Ding, ding,
ding. So again, you can catch that on the website. And tomorrow we will be talking to our friend Hans Brighton Moser, a dairy farmer from up in the Merrill area, more about rural economic development.
Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, and check out Up North NewsWI.com. It's a great website with great articles. Pat Kreitlow, thank you so very much for making time for us today.
Thank you, Jane. See you later.
Take care, Greg.
Bye.
Stay close. News coming up next. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Tuesday on Nightlight, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times joins the show. Check us out at our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point. And I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did. And you know, if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Campbell.